Good morning, everyone. It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. It's coming to you from God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. Here now is Brother Dishman to bring us another good message from God's eternal word.
Thank you, brother.
Well, I ask you to take your Bibles and turn with us over to the book of Romans and the sixth chapter. We're reading here in Romans 6, just one verse, verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How can a free gift be so costly? You have heard it said that the best things in life are free. This is especially true when we consider that the best thing in life is the gift of God, eternal life. A high cost was paid to offer this gift, and a high cost must be paid to receive this gift. A high cost for a free gift? Somebody said, how could that be? This paradox can sometimes be difficult to comprehend. However, the teachings of Jesus are so often found in the form of a paradox. In the Beatitudes, in Matthew the 5th chapter and verse number 3, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So upon a closer examination, such paradoxes are not really contradictions, but expressions of very important spiritual truths. I'd like for us to consider, how is it that this gift is free, but yet it's costly? Well, many have a wrong concept about how salvation is obtained. They think that salvation is earned by doing good works. We believe as the church that after you're saved, you will have good works. I believe James bears that out, that if a person has genuine faith, it will produce good works. But we do not work our way into salvation. Many professing Christians, they believe because of the life that they live, because the witnessing that they do, because they're generous in their giving, because of their faithful attendance to church, that somehow this is going to get them to heaven. But salvation is God's gift to undeserving men. Offered while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were enemies, Romans the 5th chapter and verse number 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love to us, word, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not because we love God, but because God loved us. It's what the Bible says in 1 John the 4th chapter and verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, as it is offered to all who will receive it. Let's look at a couple of verses that speaks of the gift of God being free, such as Revelation 21 and verse number 6. And he said unto me, it is done, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Again, in Revelation 22, 17, he said, and the spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Salvation then, according to these verses, is offered freely. But that does not mean it cost us nothing. Indeed, we shall see that nothing in all the universe has cost so much. The high cost of providing this gift. What did this gift that we enjoy cost the Father? John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, it cost heaven the very best. God gave his Son. When I think about that, I think about Jesus Christ. While he hung on the cross, God could have helped him. God could have helped his Son and sent us all to hell. But because he loved us, he did not help his Son. He turned his back on his only Son. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It cost him the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. He did not spare his Son in an effort to save us from our sins. So it cost God the Father. It cost God the Son. In order for us to have this free gift, it cost Jesus Christ. Yes, see, Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. It cost Jesus the renunciation of the glory and the majesty which he had with the Father before coming to this world. Friend, it cost Jesus something. It cost him the humiliation of servitude, even to the point of suffering, and finally dying by crucifixion upon the cruel tree. So it cost God the Father, it cost God the Son, and it cost the Holy Ghost. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cost the Holy Spirit a ministry through the ages of patiently wooing the stubborn hearts of sinful men through the call of the gospel, suffering long with men who treat him ill, being grieved when they resist him. I say to you, dear ones, each person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, has paid dearly to make this great gift of salvation possible to mankind. So certainly, from the viewpoint of its provision, we can see the high cost of a free gift. But the acceptance of this gift is also very costly. When the Bible says the gift of God, speaking of the fact that it doesn't cost money, salvation doesn't cost you anything as far as paying something that you earn it. But I'm telling you, to live for Jesus and to be a disciple cost us some things. Somebody said, well, what will it cost me? Somebody said, oh, don't say nothing about the cost or people won't want it. Well, we might as well tell them the truth, because they're going to find out if they get saved that there's a cost involved. And while I preach this message, for those of you that God's been speaking to, I would like for you to really count the cost and paying the price in obtaining salvation. It costs the denial of self and the renunciation of much that men hold dear. Paul, who gladly paid the cost, expressed this very vividly in several passages of Scripture. I believe that's what he was saying in the book of Galatians, the second chapter and verse number 20, when he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 3, verse number 7, but what things we were to gain to me, those things counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Friend, one cannot accept Christ and his salvation on lesser terms than the complete surrender of self to Jesus Christ. Grace is free, but it's costly. Cheap grace is a deadly enemy to the church of the living God. Cheap grace means the justification of sin without the justification of the sinner. That's what we're seeing in the religious world. Forgiveness without requiring repentance without confession. Cheap grace is grace without Jesus Christ. God's grace, thank God, is still free, but there's a price to pay. Nowhere is this stated more clearly than in the book of Mark, where Jesus said in the 8th chapter and verse number 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is what makes the gospel of Christ a hard gospel for many people to accept, because they want to accept Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord of their lives. But these two are inseparable. Amen. The Bible brings the two together. In Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You can't have him as your Savior without accepting him as your Lord. Jesus had made it very clear in Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Notice how Christ brought the two together. In Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. We as the church today dare not insist that what is so costly for God shall come easy to us. No man can accept Jesus as Savior of his soul without accepting him as Lord of his life. That's what it costs to be a Christian. Accepting him as Lord of your life. Jesus himself made it so very clear when he warned his hearers, the cost of discipleship is high. In Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse number 25, And there went a great multitude with him. And he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after you have laid the foundation and is not able to finish. And all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. There's a cost involved in this free gift. Now the lordship of Jesus over self, life, possessions must be acknowledged if we know him as Savior and Lord. Of course, you'll remember that before Paul met that risen Christ, the apostle Paul's name was Saul. One of the cost of discipleship is the loss of our identity. Another is the sacrifice of personal freedom. What we need to remember is that freedom in Christ is not freedom to do your own thing, but it's freedom to choose Christ over the ways of the world. That's the freedom that we have. Not to go do what we want to, not to sin more or less every day. We're to choose Christ over the ways of the world. And Paul makes it clear that to accept Christ is to exchange our slavery to sin and death for obedience to Jesus Christ. People today must realize that Jesus' commission to his disciples was to preach repentance and remission of sins. Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There is no remission apart from repentance. And repentance involves the whole life. What does it involve? 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this self same thing that you sorrowed after godly sort, what carefulness it wrought, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things you have approved yourself to be clear in this manner. Not only sorrow for the past that leads to repentance, but zeal and fervor for the future that affects how we live. Repentance is therefore the abandoning of our own selfish way to God's way in obedience and fellowship with him. But the religious world is saying, the modern preachers are saying, just accept Christ and be saved. That's the appeal of the religious preachers and teachers of our day. And many people assume that it's a matter of just accepting Christ with no strings attached. However, consider the words of Christ when he said in the book of John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. So, to receive Jesus requires a full surrender to the Lordship of Christ and a sincere acceptance of his commandments. That is why the gift of salvation, while it's offered freely in the Word of God, still comes with a high cost. Salvation cannot be earned. Salvation cannot be merited by any amount of good deeds. For even after a lifetime of diligent obedience, we're still unworthy servants. Luke 17:10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty. But the Lordship of Jesus Christ rightly demands full surrender to his authority. Now, when you talk to people about counting the cost, seemingly all they can think about, what it's going to cost me. And people think, if I get saved, I got to quit smoking. It's going to cost me if I get saved. If I get saved, then I got to quit drinking. It's going to cost me my booze. If I get saved, it's going to cost me my drug addiction. And all that's true. It's going to cost you those things that you know is sinful. You got to give them up. And it's just best just to go ahead and give it all up. Not try to taper off. Just sell out, give it up. Thousands have. And it worked for them. God's long-suffering. If you make a mistake, if you fail God, don't throw in the towel. Get forgiveness and go on for God. I encourage people just cold turkey. Give it up. While you think about the cost, somebody say, well, I'll have to dress different. Some's not willing to pay that price. But while you're thinking about the cost, you need to also consider the cost if you don't get saved. Calculate that into the equation. While you're thinking about what you got to give up, think about what it's going to cost you if you don't give it up. Because you're going to give up the beer and the alcohol, and you're going to give up the drugs. All the things that keep people from getting saved, they're going to give it up at the end of life anyway. And some have said, and I personally believe, that the alcoholic will still crave the booze in hell. The drug addict still crave the drugs, but no way to find them there. So you might as well go ahead and get delivered now while there's time and opportunity. Tell you, these addictions are real, friend. I encourage young people, don't get started down that road. And let me tell you, friend, don't start fooling around with these things, because it gets a stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger hold on you. You see, this is what sin does. Gets hold of you. You go out and start drinking a little. Little leads to a little more. You got to drink more the next time to get drunk, to get that buzz. You got to have more. That's the way drugs is. You got to have more. You got to have more. And it gets so expensive, you can't afford it. So you got to start being crooked. You got to steal. You got to cheat in order to satisfy those cravings. Amen. So that's to consider. The way of the transgressor is hard. So you need to calculate that into counting the cost. Proverbs 13:15. Many have spent their whole existence in support of some sin. Large estates have been wasted. Bright men and women have been blighted. Think about this when you count the cost. Look at others. Look where sin led them. Look what it cost them. Remember, in the eyes of God, there's only two kinds of people: those on the road to heaven and those on the road to hell. There is no middle of the road. Which road are you on? Yes, it's a free gift, but it's very costly. You can come before the Lord and find forgiveness, just like the prodigal son found a loving father back home. You'll find a heavenly father who's ready to forgive you, restore you to the place you ought to be. The wise person will not experience the hard ways of the transgressor to know that it's not the path of life to choose. You know why? Because you're going to learn from the sufferings of others, and you're going to avoid that path of wickedness that you see in his life, her life, and where it's led him and where it's led her. Indeed, if you're a wise person, you'll recognize that obedience to God's commandments is the best life available. And you'll come and not only say, I want Jesus as my Savior. You'll come and you'll say, I want him as my Lord. Because that's the only way you can have him as your Savior, to accept him as your Lord. Have you counted the cost? I've told you what it's going to cost you both ways. It's going to cost your sins, but if you don't get saved, it's going to cost you in this life and in the life to come. Now, what are you going to do? Amen.
Thank you again, Brother Dishman, for those sobering thoughts. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. Once again, we'd like to invite each and every one of you out to the services at God's Acres today. Sunday school begins at 9:30. Morning worship begins at 10:45. At 5 o'clock this evening, our young people meet, as well as the evening prayer service. Our evening worship service will start at 6 o'clock. We'd like to remind you our winter camp meeting starts here at God's Acres, December the 27th at 7 o'clock. There will be three services each day. 10 o'clock in the morning will be a main service, 7 o'clock will be the evening service, and then every afternoon at 2:30 there will be a children's Bible school, and also at 3 o'clock a teaching service. There is also a youth service each evening at 6 o'clock. We'd like to invite each and every one of you out to the camp meeting. If you need transportation, give us a call at that same number, 740-345-1213. I see that our time has gone again, but before we leave, this is Fred Barrows saying thank you for listening today, and hopefully you will join us again next week at this same time. So until then, we trust that God will give you a good week.